You're a rich girl and you're gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch, girl, but it's gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. Say money, money won't get you too far, get you too far.
What's up, Wisconsin and beyond? My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And as it is the 3 o'clock hour, it is time for Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. Today, we are talking about the Great Economy Project. Don't worry if you don't know what that is, because I've got two great guests to explain it all to you. This is all about really talking about the untapped power that each and every one of you, every working person in these United States has, especially in states like Wisconsin, not just in this next election cycle, but on the day after, starting on November 6th. This is about all of us understanding how the economy works for us as the middle class, and just as importantly, how it doesn't. And let's get together, all of us, because we have a commonality of interests, because there's going to be a big fight in 2025. Not just over our economy, but over tax policies and about fundamentally how we view middle-class Americans. I am really excited about this because voting is already underway. Alabama mailed ballots last week. Wisconsin's mailing out ballots this Thursday. So we're in the countdown to November 5th. What is it, like 50 days away? Holy cow. But both of my guests today say that as important as November 5th is, November 6th, the day after the election, is, if not just as important, maybe even more important. It's the battle for the future of America. So with us today are Erica Payne and Kat Hadley. Erica is founder and president of the Patriotic Millionaires, a Wharton grad, and the co-author with Morris Pearl of Tax the Rich, How Lies, Loopholes, and Lobbyists Make the Rich Even Richer. And we're joined by Kat Hadley, director of the Great Economy Project, long-time Michigan economic justice advocate, and she is a trustee on the Ann Arbor Library Board. I love the library. I go to Milwaukee Public Library's big annual foundation fundraiser every year and crack open my checkbook. So important. Erica, let's start with you. Why do you and the Patriotic Millionaires think that this broader fight, you know, like step one of the fight is go vote on election day, diligence your candidates. But this broader fight really is going to start after election day. What comes after the, why are we talking about November 6th? We haven't even gotten to November 5th yet, Erica.
Well, we always like to think ahead here at the Patriotic Millionaire. So in 2025, a huge portion of the American tax code expires. And so when those tax provisions expire, we have an opportunity to put in place the kind of tax system this country needs and this country deserves. In 2017, on a party line vote, Republicans in the House and the Senate and President Donald Trump put a new tax code in place in the United States. It covered every single aspect of taxes, from estate taxes to personal income taxes to exemptions to corporate taxes and everything in between. In 2018, for the first time in American history, billionaires paid a lower effective tax rate than every single other group in America. Congress never does something until they're forced to do it. In 2025, we have the opportunity to write a tax code that will turn the Titanic, that will get this country moving in the right direction, and that will address this destabilizing, cancerous inequality that is about to eat our democratic, capitalistic society from the inside out. So 2025, huge year for America. And think about it. We turn 250 years old, Maggie, in 2026. Let's say happy birthday, America, with a tax code that we need and deserve, that'll make sure that our economy is structured in such a way that we have a stable, prosperous, and inclusively prosperous nation.
I like the way Morris puts it, Erica, which is, I want to be a rich guy or a prosperous guy in a prosperous nation filled with other rich people and prosperous people. Like, that's the objective. And we have the tools to help start to make that a reality. Erica, 2 years ago, the PMs started the Great Economy Project. We even have a chapter of it here in the state of Wisconsin. What is the Great Economy Project and why did the PM start it? What's the goal?
Sure. So the goal of the Great Economy Project is to build a bipartisan coalition of working Americans to ensure that we have the kind of economy that we need to have a stable, prosperous country, regardless of which political party is in charge. So if you look back over the last 60, 70 years, two things have happened. The wage floor, the bottom has fallen out of the wage floor. So basically the middle class has nothing to stand on. And all the gains of productivity have gone to the top people in the country. Simultaneously, tax rates for the richest people in the country go down, 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 regardless of what political party is in charge. So this has led to the highest level of economic inequality we have seen in 100 years. We're playing a game of economic Jenga where we're pulling off the bottom, pulling off the middle, loading all of that stuff up on the top, and the whole thing's about to collapse. In 2025, we can fix it. But the only way we can fix it is if a bipartisan majority of Americans demand that we fix it, because we have a big time Republican Party problem. And we also have some of a Democratic Party problem. So we've got to solve the problem on both sides. What Pat and I did starting 2 years ago was we picked out what we think are some of the most powerful places in the country, places that have a huge working class population, populations that are getting screwed by the economy, regardless of which party is in charge, and groups that are represented by folks who can really do something about this. So we started a program in North Carolina. We've got a program going in Wisconsin, and we've got one going in Michigan. And what we do with the Great Economy Project is we come in with a bunch of our members, and over a series of dinners, we talk to regular folks across party lines about exactly how the economy is rigged, the specifics of it, from CEO pay to tax policy to wage policy. They can see the whole picture. And then we help them use their own political power to demand the changes that they need to see in the country.
I think in many ways, I think of this as responsive and trying to help people understand why people are so angry in many cases, why they feel left behind. Kat, you're the director of the Great Economy Project. How is it going so far? If somebody listening right now is angry, if they do feel like they're not getting ahead, like their kids may not do better than they are doing, and they're ticked off about it, what do you have to say to those folks? How is the Great Economy Project helping to respond to people that are bringing, I think, a totally legitimate level of frustration to the table with policymakers?
Well, I would say that you're not alone. I think a lot of times when we talk about our economy, it's very much a conversation about, you know, your personal, like what you've done. And it's not that there's no accountability for things we've done in our past, but the idea is that there have been policies in place that have been there that have made your wallet not stretch as far and made it harder to pay rent on time. And we've seen the floor fall out from beneath us. I think Erica talks a lot about a broken social contract, and that's what we have. So we need your help fixing that. And what we've seen in both Wisconsin and North Carolina is people step up to that plate. So that means going and talking to their neighbors, being at community fairs, just having these conversations about how this is stacked against them, the importance of your own voice. Because I think for a lot of people, they feel like, what's the point? You know, what's the point? They're not going to listen to me. And then in the reverse, when you go talk to lawmakers, they'll tell you, well, nobody's complaining about this. Nobody's complaining about minimum wage to me, so it must not be an issue. Which, you know, as somebody that worked for minimum wage for a long time, that wasn't the top of my mind.
Yeah, people are too busy working.
Yeah.
Two different jobs.
Maggie, yeah. That's exactly right. We'll hear from lawmakers sometimes because this minimum wage issue, what is known as the wage floor, the wage floor has not been raised since 2009. So in the United States of America today in 2024, it is legal in Wisconsin in North Carolina and a bunch of other states, it is legal to pay someone for a dollar of their time to pay them $7.25 an hour. Yeah. That adds up for full-time work to $15,000 a year. There is not a single county in the entire country where a single adult with no children can support themselves on $15,000 a year. The median cost of living in the United States of America is $40,000 a year.
That translates to $20. I wish we would start calling it a fair wage, right? Mm-hmm. Because a minimum wage, we should be saying, it is the very least that corporations get away with paying us and that our elected officials permit them to pay us. Kat, when you look at the tax fight next year, what is the one or two really important things? What do you want the Great Economy Project to impact? Because when I step back and given all of the discussions we've had here on the show, I would be saying to middle-class people, and we can talk about it, buybacks, right, CEO pay, the tax dodges, all that. What we've got at root here, right, is the cost of government being shifted from the wealthiest and the wealthiest corporations onto the backs of the middle class, with the ultimate objective to pay the middle class less, tax them more, and frankly, defund some of the systems that every American relies on, systems like Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. So when you look at what the plan is for next year and this tax fight, what are the first couple of objectives for the Great Economy Project?
Well, I think that really we need to look at something like equalizing capital gains and ordinary income. And I think that for us as a movement, we need all hands on deck. We need everyone here. Our amazing team in Wisconsin has been writing op-eds. They've been at every event. They're going to have an event actually later today, a Get Out the Vote event in Platteville. It's going to be at the Belmont Convention Center, but they're out there every day talking to people. And that's what we need. We need people to get involved. And then we need people to push back, come this election. You know, you're going to be, a lot of people are asking for stuff. I'm in Michigan. I get a lot of mailers, but you know, November 6th, we need all hands on deck because we need lawmakers to know that this is an issue and that they can't get away with not fixing this for us anymore.
We got to take a quick little breath here. We got to take some, pay some of our bills. I'm Maggie Dawn. I'm with Erica Payne, founder and president of the Patriotic Millionaires, and Kat Hadley, director of the Great Economy Project. We're going to be back in just a moment. We're going to talk about why. You're just joining us. It is the 3 o'clock hour here on the Maggie Dawn Show. That means it's Maggie and the Millionaires talking money, 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 because that's what this is actually about. You know, some candidates may tell you that all your economic woes and worries will simply be washed away if we vilify certain groups of people or we build a wall high enough. But the reality of the matter is it's more complicated than that. It is actually about the money. It's actually about how we treat wages versus wealth. It's about how CEOs line their pockets. Now, I've got two great guests to help us understand that. Erica Payne, founder and president of the Patriotic Millionaires, and Kat Hadley, director of the Great Economy Project. Kat, we were talking about one key element of the fight that begins and must be sustained starting the day after Election Day on November 6th. Is simply saying that capital gains and income should be taxed at the same rate. This is actually bipartisan, is it not? I mean, middle-class folks are Republicans, Democrats, independents, uninterested, purple, polka-dotted. It's a bipartisan middle-class issue, is it not?
No, it absolutely is. But I think as somebody that's been an advocate for over a decade, you can have really popular things with every day on the street. I worked in maternal health expansion for a long time, and both sides would tell us, you know, we're all about this. We want to support you, but no legislation gets passed. So we really need people to join us in this fight and push back and say, you know, you have to fix this, because oftentimes it's just, oh, the tax code is complicated and maybe there's a reason for that. And then also that it's just not a priority for everyday people. It's not my voters' everyday priority. So we need people to be with us in this fight, emailing, calling, sending postcards, texting, all of those things, and talking to their neighbors. And we're lucky that we have an amazing team on the ground here in Richland Center, who've expanded even. They're out in Sauk and Iowa counties now, and talking to people every day about how important these issues are, how they impact them, and how these people do have a voice. They just need to exercise that muscle. And the first time is really scary, but after that, it's, you know, I always joke that you realize that politicians are three kids in a trench coat. And the second you realize that, it's a lot more approachable to call them all the time with your issues. So, yeah.
I've got the image now, Kat. Three kids in a trench coat. I love it. Erica, why Wisconsin? Why does this matter so very much for Wisconsinites?
Wisconsin is a fantastic state for us to be having a tax conversation in. You've got two incredible, incredible vehicles for your viewpoints and your two senators. We've got Tammy Baldwin, who is Senator Tammy Baldwin. She is probably one of the single best tax champions in the United States Senate. She has gone after some of the stupidest, most inane tax loopholes that are benefiting only the richest people, and she has shown herself to be a great champion. She needs to be shored up because she has a lot of middle of the road and right wing colleagues that she's going to have to convince in 2025. And then you all also have Senator Ron Johnson, who is on the Senate Finance Committee. This is the committee where all of the tax legislation will ultimately get decided, because legislation comes out of the House. And so whoever controls the House will put that legislation forward, but most likely, not to get too much into legislative details, but next year's tax bill will be passed on what's called a budget reconciliation vote. It's a special kind of legislation that allows legislation to get passed on a 51 vote threshold. The Senate will be very, very close. Ron Johnson is on the Senate Finance Committee. And I got to tell you, the preview of this tax fight that I had last week when I was in a Senate Finance Committee hearing for 3 hours, and your senator got up there and blithered some of the most incorrect, intentionally misleading nonsense I have ever heard. The folks in Wisconsin need to get your phones ringing to call Senator Ron Johnson and tell him it's time to put his money where his mouth is and fix a tax code that he last week called grotesque. It is grotesque. Let me tell you his phone number. His phone number is 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. Ron Johnson and Tammy Baldwin, those senators are going to have a huge amount to do.
Call Senator Johnson, please let me know here at Civic Media by calling or texting if he ever gets back to you, because I've heard that Senator Ron Johnson does not return constituent calls. People do not hear from him. It frightens me that the gentleman that's running against Tammy Baldwin has a net worth somewhere north of $200 million, and that Ron Johnson has a net worth somewhere north of $50 million. Here's who I don't want defining the tax code: multimillionaires with generational wealth. Who do you think they're going to craft a tax code for? People like themselves. That's just ridiculous. If you look at Tammy Baldwin's record on a tax code that works for the middle class, it is evident that she actually cares about the middle class. Erica, last week we talked to Bob Lord. I know that you referenced his testimony before the Senate Finance Committee, as well as some of the nonsense and drivel and doublespeak that Ron Johnson was slinging about in that very hearing when he deigned to appear. Mr. Lord is the VP for tax policy for the Patriotic Millionaires. What was your bottom line takeaway from that Senate hearing? Because I went back and watched it myself, and I had a thought, but I want to hear from you because you were in the room.
I have to tell you, Maggie, it was a frustrating and also enlightening experience that I think we can pull a lot of good lessons out of. The first lesson that I had is that these lawmakers, regardless of what political party they are in, do not seem to recognize the degree of the threat that we face in inequality. People might be concerned about Trump, becoming president again, I want us to be more concerned about the preconditions that led to the rise of an authoritarian figure. We are at 100-year levels of inequality. We have a tax code that guarantees we will become more unequal more quickly over time. We're already at 100-year levels of inequality. And in the Senate Finance Committee kickoff to the 2025 tax bill, your Senator Ron Johnson talked about how changing this tax system was going to hurt small business. Well, you know, we've got a $26 million estate exemption in the tax code. If your small business is worth $26 million, we can have a perfectly reasonable conversation about what needs to happen after that.
We're going to have to leave it there. I just point to that, right? $27 million will pass without a penny of tax paid. Maybe we can start there. Maybe we can start with capital gains tax being taxed. Capital gains being taxed like income. There's so much more. You can find all of it here every day at 3 p.m. It is always Maggie and the Millionaires talking money. My thanks to Erica Payne, founder and president of the Patriotic Millionaires, and Kat Hadley, director of the Great Economy Project. Go call Ron Johnson and tell him to start treating the middle class fairly. 202-224-3121. Tell him Maggie sent you.
Maggie and the Millionaire sent you.
That's damn right. We need a fair tax code. Wisconsinites deserve a fair tax code. And I'll say this, last and finally. I don't care who you talk to in the state of Wisconsin, I hear two things all the time. I want more affordable childcare, and I want our public educational institutions to be funded. Well, we can start by taxing the rich more. That's a good place to start, to fund those essential programs that help small businesses and the entire middle class. Thanks so much, ladies. We'll be back with so much more after these brief messages here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.